Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm one of those guys, I get really into Christmas, like really into it.
Do you like more Christmas or ketchup?
They're both red.
The fact that you had to think about it. What about this? Christmas ketchup.
Ooh.
Now we're talking.
Now we're talking. I can picture that. A red bottle with like some green trim.
Yeah.
Every time the ketchup bottle makes that noise, an angel gets its wings.
Yes, that's exactly what happens.
I like my women like I like my ketchup bottles. They come when I turn them upside down and tap that bottom.
Everybody listen to Darren Carter. Yeah. We all know he's the party starter. So if you want to listen to a podcast for free, listen to a pocket party. Pocket party.
And we're back, everybody. Hope you're having a great day and a great holiday. Even though Christmas is over and we're getting ready to celebrate New Year's. Who knows when you're going to hear this? It may be February. What do we know?
Hello.
Hello. We have the one and only Mr. Mike Black. Hello, sir. How are you?
I am fantastic. Happy to be here. Proud to know you.
I love it, man. I was just saying, I wish that they had a nice Christmas and a happy New Year. And who knows when they're going to listen to this? It may be February by the time they get around to this episode.
Oh yeah! Happy holidays to everybody. Hope you guys had a great time 3 months ago.
So, what are your summer plans, Mike?
Yeah, pretty much the same as my winter plans.
Do you have winter? I know. It's funny.
I really don't plan all that far ahead. I plan about a day and a half ahead, maybe, if something important is happening.
That really is the way to do it, right? Like, I know people are like, you got to have your long-term goals and your five-year and then 10-year. And it's like, you know, what's that one?
Like, I don't know. It really hasn't worked out for me.
I know.
You know, maybe they're on to something.
What's that cliche? Make God, you know, you want to make God laugh, make plans.
That's kind of what happened every time I really tried to, like, long-term goal it. Just so many curveballs would happen, you know. I'm going to do this, this, and this. Well, here's the pandemic. Oh, I guess I'm not doing that, that, and that, right?
You know? Yeah, I know. Like, I do, it's funny, I do have my goals, and here's another thing I'm learning. You keep these goals close to your vest, because, man, this is smart, dude. I read this, and it's so true. What happens is people, you get that endorphin rush when you tell people your plans, and then eventually you're like, well, why even do the big plan? Because I already got my endorphin rush. Like, if you're telling everyone... You know,
that's interesting.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to lose 50 pounds this year. And everyone's like, oh, good for you, man. Oh, man, that's great. Or I'm going to write my book. I'm going to write my book.
And they're like, they're all proud of you. And you're like, yeah, this is great.
Exactly.
And then you sit down at the keyboard and it's like, now this part's just work.
Exactly.
I already got the fun part.
You know? Yeah, it's better just to announce, guys, I'm going to open up a bed and breakfast. You know, it's like.
I will say there is one thing that's kind of counter that. But that is the idea of not necessarily telling other people your plans, but putting it out in the universe that you want to do a certain thing or you want a certain thing. Just verbally, audibly saying, like, hey, I want this, or I'm going to try and do this.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
not anyone else, but just actually saying it out loud and letting yourself hear it, I think is a good thing to do.
I think so too. And I know it's funny, like for every, you know, there's always a counter to it. So there's on the one hand, keep everything close to your vest. But on the other hand, you know, on some level, it's
I think
like,
there's some things that you can afford to share and it's not a big deal. And also there are some things that it's like, if it would behoove you for other people to know, like saying like, hey, I want 1 million followers for this show. A lot of times people, when they hear stuff like that, they just instantly want to help.
Right.
And they'll be like, oh, I need to share this thing around. I need to promote this thing that I like too. You know.
Oh yeah. But oh, by the way, speaking of that, guys, if you want to help out the show, the easiest, simplest way is share the link. All you gotta do is share the link. If it's on, you know, YouTube or Spotify or Apple, whatever podcast app, just share it. You know, if you've already rated and reviewed it, thank you. Maybe get someone to do it, you know, your partner. If you're with someone, you go, hey, you know what, let me see your phone for a second.
Cool. And you don't even have to get like technical. Like a lot of people are like, oh, I don't know how to post a link on this thing or that thing. Just retweet it, or just like if you see a clip or a thing like that, just forward it to someone. That sort of stuff always helps.
It does help, man. It's like, and I love to read the reviews. I haven't done that in a while, so I'm going to get back. That's a goal I'll put out there, 2023. Yeah. I'm going to read, dude, I'm coming up on 5 years of this podcast. It's crazy. Pocket Party Podcast started April 2018, and it's incredible. And, dude, you know what's funny is I went back. I should look at the first time you were on, because you've been on pretty steady for like 2 years now.
A lot,
lot. I was... I mean, to the point where I was like, I wonder what we talked about last Christmas. And I looked at it. I was like, oh, it's so cool. And then I'll look at some of the fun little jags that we go on about how, like one time I was talking about Ritz crackers and you were like, oh, man, they've gone down with their quality. And then
they really have. Just now I was eating some club crackers. I guess you would call them their rival.
Oh, I love those club crackers. I think. How are they now?
From Kellogg, they're great now. They're exactly as good as they used to be. They now on the back of the box they're promoting that they make mini ones, which sound exciting. And but I've had, they're good enough that they made wheat versions of them, like whole grain ones. And I was like, these are gonna suck. And I tried them, and I was like, these are actually pretty good. They're not great, but they're pretty good. Like
that's cool.
In a pinch.
The power of suggestion. My wife was telling me, she's like, you know, she's like, I saw Steve Simone's been posting about donuts. And she's like, you know, they were in up near Fresno. There's this little town, and they were in that little town. And she's like, it's still Christmased out, even though it's after Christmas, you know. And she's like, oh, look, there's an ice cream parlor. And there's a donut shop. And she told my son, she's like, okay, you get one or the other. We don't get both. What do we do? And he's like, well, it's pretty cold, so let's get the donuts. So
yeah,
she said they were amazing, which I'm like, I haven't had a donut in a while, but I can see myself having a donut in the very near future.
Yeah, if you've been watching a lot of stuff about donuts, because it's, you wouldn't think it, but donut technology has advanced quite a bit in the last couple of years, where they have like, it's not so much technology, I guess it's just the trends have changed, where now they're doing stuff like they'll take a glazed donut and crush a bunch of Captain Crunch over the top of it, or put a bunch of like the chocolate Rice Krispies or whatever. So they're making all sorts of fun donuts that they didn't used to make.
See, that'd be
good. Not to mention the crocut, which is a croissant bread with a donut.
Ooh.
And so it's even flakier and lighter.
Oh, man.
And those are, I would highly recommend one of those. If you're only having one donut a year and they have cronuts, get a cronut.
Oh, I'm going to write that down. Cronut, because I love, my favorite is glazed donut. I love a good.
Do you like croissants?
I do.
Yeah, then I would definitely give that a try.
I used to go for the apple fritters, and then I'd stop. The last time I had an apple fritter, I was like, this is too much, which I don't know.
I'm like, kind of a commitment. You're like, I gotta be kind of psych myself up for it all.
Right. Day. I'm like, I got to get it. I'm like, let me stick with those good glazed donuts, maybe like a chocolate donut with some cool sprinkles and frosting on. My, when I was a kid, that was every now and then my dad would go out of town. He'd be working out of town. And so my mom would go to Winchell's Donuts. And Saturday morning, she'd get like, you know, a dozen donuts. And it was, it's crazy to think that's what our breakfast was, but it was pretty cool as a kid. Like, you know, like Saturday mornings, donuts.
Little kid. I was just talking about like that period of my life the other day to one of my friends where there was, you didn't realize how good you had it as a little kid being adorable.
Yeah.
You know, like, do you remember Sinclair gas stations?
Yeah. I think they still have them. Is that the one with the dinosaur?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we went to one when I was a little kid and we went inside and they had an inflatable dinosaur, like Sinclair dinosaur hanging up over.
Oh, that's cool.
And I was like, ah, dinosaur, yay. Like, I was really into it. And they were like, you like that? And I was like, yeah, this is great. And they took it down and gave it to me.
Wow.
Imagine 40-year-old me going in there and pointing at the dinosaur. Yeah, that's a cool dinosaur. Do you like it? Yeah, that's great. Now get pay for your gas and get out.
Yeah, you're like, who doesn't
we're busy
like
right now.
Yeah, I know.
Like, that sort of stuff never happens to adults.
I know.
Not to normal. Like, maybe if you're a supermodel or something. But, like, to the regular person, you just don't realize how great it is to be a kid and that everything kind of is centered around you, you know?
Yeah.
But, oh, but my whole thing was when I was a kid going to like kindergarten or preschool, I guess, my dad would take me on his way to work and we would always stop at Dunkin' Donuts. And this was back when Dunkin' Donuts was kind of a place. It was like they had an indoor seating area and a counter and like a waitress would come by and fill coffee and stuff like that. It was like it used to be a whole hangout sort of thing, you know. And he would let me pick whatever donut I wanted. And as a little kid, I was much more into color than taste. And so I would always pick, they had like a purple blueberry donut.
Ooh, those are good.
And I was like, I want that purple donut because it seemed like they'd made it just for me because like everything else was like donut colors, like all browns and stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's just this one bright purple donut sticking out. I want that one. That one's for me, you know. And like now as an adult, I don't even like blueberry at all. But I remember having that donut. This is the greatest thing in the world. I'm eating a purple thing. You know? I also went to school in a Dracula cape because I thought other kids would think I was cool. That was not.
Yeah.
Kind of backfired on me. And I beat up in the playground.
I'm Dracula. That's funny.
Yeah, they're like, screw you, Dracula.
It's funny. Yeah. You asked me if I remembered Sinclair's. I was like, I remember a restaurant called Sambo's. Did you ever go to Sambo's or hear of it?
Yes, I did. Yes, which, I did.
You know,
Sambo's Pizza, if I'm correct, right?
Oh, it was. I think it was a diner. Remind me
of.
Oh, like,
no. You're right. Sambo's was a different thing. I'm thinking of Straw Hat Pizza.
Yep, Straw Hat. So Sambo's, I guess, was a diner that started in Santa Barbara, like in the '50s, and then it grew to like well over 1,000, and. I was reading something right here. It said the name was taken from portions of the name of its founders. The chain soon found itself associated with the story of Little Black Sambo. And
yeah, it was a wildly racist name, but a lot of people didn't know it.
Right.
Like, in the areas where I live, like in suburb Colorado, nobody really knew
right,
that it was
right.
That bad. And then it just suddenly closed down one day, and I was like, oh, that's too bad.
And they were like, yeah, exactly. And then they said the owners didn't even realize it because it's like part of their names. And then they're like, oh, people, okay, well, then let's capitalize. And it says, Battistone and Bonnet capitalized on this connection by decorating the walls of the restaurants with scenes from the book, including a dark-skinned boy, tigers, and a pale, magical unicycle-riding man called the Tree Friend. But by the early 60s,
I do not remember that.
Yeah, it said, But by the early 60s, the illustrations depicted a light-skinned boy wearing a jeweled Indian-style turban with the tigers. There was a kids' club, Sambo's Tigers, later called Tiger Club, promoted the chain's family-friendly image.
That actually sounds familiar, that part.
So
about yeah. like the Tiger Club.
Right. And I do remember going to that. I remember going to one in the 70s, you know, and like having the coloring book. And then as I got a little older, they were saying that it was like, you know, had racial overtones, which, you know, as a kid, you don't understand that stuff. You know, I was like,
right.
But the funny thing is to me, the last sentence says, the final restaurant changed their name to Chad.
Because the whitest name.
Yeah, they kept a human being exactly. Have, they were really trying to hang on because they even changed their name. It said at one point to like the Jolly Tiger, and then they tried Jolly to call Tiger. No place like Sam's, and then eventually they were just like, all right, screw it, we're called Chad. All right, everybody, we're not.
After Chad for like a month and a half, they changed the name of the restaurant to We're Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, this is interesting. It says. In June of 2020, the name of the original Sambo sign was temporarily changed to the motto Peace and Love. Oh gosh. And then in July, the restaurant was officially renamed Chad's. I wonder if it's still open. I don't know. But that's
if there was an actual Chad Sambo that was like, yeah, we got to change it.
It's like, dang it. I know. I think about that all the time.
Use my first name instead.
I do that joke about, you know, the Karens, and what if your name is Karen, then all of a sudden, boom, that becomes a thing, and, you know, like Darren, you know. It's funny, because I do notice in pop culture, Darren a couple times usually is sort of a punchline. Like, there was some commercial a couple years back, and they made, like, the robot guy, it was like a robot, and he was sort of the dumber character, and they were like, come on, Darren, get it. It's this way, and like that. And I was like, ooh, my name is becoming that now. And then I noticed even recently on something, I think it was either TikTok or something, I saw a stand-up clip from Theo Von, and he made, in one of his punchlines, the name was Darren. Come on, Darren. You know, and I was like, oh, gosh. Like, don't get that out there. Please change the name. But, you know.
Yeah, I think there are a lot worse names. I remember Panette talking about like the moms that are like helicopter moms that hover over their kids and like always have like sprays and lotions and moist towelettes and stuff.
Yeah. And, can I tell you a real quick joke on that topic, super quick, and then I'll let you continue. Can I tell you real quick?
Okay.
So there's this lady we know in our hometown, and her daughter, her name was Helen. And so instead of saying like a helicopter mom, we used to nickname her a helicopter mom.
That was what you interrupted for?
I'm sorry. I had to say that. I had to say the helicopter. Otherwise, it would have been stuck, and I would.
Helicopter was.
Yeah, I was like, helicopter. Like,
I got to break in with this. Dazzle the hell out of everybody. when they hear helicopter mom.
Yeah. Otherwise, you would be just talking, and I'd be like, just stop talking so I can throw in the helicopter story.
Right. Why is he still talking? I'm sitting on a gold mine over here.
I know.
But yeah, but the name that he threw out that was just devastating was he was like, come on, Skylar.
Oh.
like, Skylar is a perfect name for a kid of a helicopter mom.
Oh my gosh, I know, right? And then Skylar,
it's
now,
like, you don't even know if Skylar could be a boy, Skylar could be a girl. There's no telling, you know. It's just such a perfect idiotic name.
You know? I know. I know. Am I right about this? On Breaking Bad, was the wife's name Skylar?
I think so.
I think so. Right? It was Skylar.
I think she wore it well, but it's such a pretentious sounding sort of name. Yes,
totally. You know what name I used to use, and I totally made this up on my own, but then it became a common name like that people started using. Like I actually came up with it on my own. Like, and that was Trevor. I came up with Trevor on my own in either the early 2000s or like 98, 99, somewhere in there. And it was. Because I used to do that bit about the redheaded gangs, you know, like, what would our gang be, you know? Trevor, Cameron, Ian, Fletcher, mess with me, get, you know, go home on a stretcher or whatever. And I remember hearing the name Trevor, and it was just like the, I was listening to like AM radio, and I remember I was driving from Fresno back to LA, and the talk show host was like, "My son Trevor," and I'm like, "Oh, that's the perfect name, Trevor."
Yeah, that's a perfect name. If you're writing like the bad guy of an 80s movie, like the bully jock or whatever, Trevor is the perfect name for
it. I know. Now I might have to change that. I mean, I already decided years ago.
This is just kind of off to the side of that. You remember like the classic 80s movie Better Off Dead?
No, I don't.
With John Cusack?
I don't.
Wow, if you haven't seen it, you're really missing out. It was like such a big thing. A lot of it, of course, doesn't hold up today because it's like zany 80s comedy. But
yeah.
There was a lot of it that was great, but it was about this guy who, in high school, his girlfriend dumps him, and the whole school knows about it, and he was like obsessed with her. And this would not play today, but he becomes suicidal. And throughout the movie, he tries to kill himself in all these different ways, and they get botched, but it's really funny.
Oh, wow. And it's a dark comedy.
Yeah, but it's a really, really good one. But, like, there's the new jock guy that she's dating, kind of bullies him a lot throughout the movie, and it ends with, like, a big ski race between the two of them down a mountain.
Oh, I love that kind of stuff.
But it's really, really good. But the guy, I was watching this like making of thing about it on YouTube, and the guy who played the jock douchebag was actually a jock douchebag. And he sees this guy in the hallway at the audition, and he says, "What are you auditioning for? Like fat surfer?" and the guy kind of laughs, and he goes, "No, I'm the director of this."
Oh, geez.
And just walks off and leaves it there. And he goes, "That guy's going to be great." He's like, we got to get that guy. He really gets it.
You know? Yeah. He's like, "I hope this guy can read, man."
Yeah. And he was like, I don't think he was in a bunch of other movies because he really was a dick, but he was a really good bully in that movie, you know?
Oh, that's good.
But I just thought that was so funny that he sees him in the hallway. He's like, "What are you, a fat surfer?"
Dude, that's funny.
Oh, I'm the director of the movie.
You know what? I remember when I got to be in, the biggest movie I've ever got to be in was Be Cool. It was it's the sequel
with,
to Get
John Travolta,
sequel to Get Shorty. And I remember the director, F. Gary Gray, came that knocked on my dressing room door, and I didn't recognize him because I remember I saw him at the audition at the callback, on set he was wearing a bunch of Quicksilver clothes. I guess maybe they were sponsored by Quicksilver or whatever. And I thought he looked a lot younger, like with the surf clothes on. And I was like, "Oh, cool, man. I'll be right there." And then he was like, "Oh, great." He goes, "Hey, Darren, good to see you." And I was thinking to myself, like, this guy knows my name. Like he mentioned like something more than my name, though. I forget what it was.
PA is on it.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. And then he goes, "Yeah, we're going to have a great shoot today, blah, blah, blah." And then I started dialing in with like, "Oh, shit." And then he's like, "Yeah, this is," then he said his name. "Hey, it's F. Gary Gray, blah, blah, blah. Good to see you. You know, glad you got the part." I think he said something really nice, like, glad you were available to do it or something. And you're like, "Oh, yeah.
That's nice." Yeah.
Oh, you know, it was either this or the funny bone in Iowa. I mean, you know.
Good. Right, yeah. You know,
it was.
I could be doing this or getting paid in tater tots somewhere.
Exactly. And maybe chicken wings. Yeah. That's funny. Better Off Dead. You know what? I was going to ask you. We just rewatched over Christmas. It's a Wonderful Life. Have you seen It's a Wonderful Life? I'm sure you have.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. It's a great, great movie.
It's the second time I've watched it, and it's just it's great. It's a great movie. It's just what can I say? You know, I love the way it builds, and I love everything about it.
Like there's the whole Christmas angle to it, of course. But even some of the like smaller human moments, like when he's on the date with his wife and you're talking about like, I'll get you the moon if that's what you want.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like there's just so much good filmmaking, good storytelling. Like when you look at it, it's really about like 20 different stories rolled into one. And they're all great. They're all like really, really great slice of Americana sort of story.
Yeah, like dancing on the like the school dance was, you know, on top of a swimming pool, and then they pull the lever and the thing starts to open up, and apparently that's like a real thing. You know, my wife looked it up. I want to say it was in Beverly Hills, that pool, and there was a club I used to play. It was a theater, an old movie theater that was built in the 20s. It was called Pepper Bellies up in Fairfield, California. And I remember the owner of the place goes, "Yeah, you know the stage? Did you know there's water underneath?" I go, "No way." And he actually opened up the thing and showed us. There was like a natural spring leak or whatever. And like it was built over, I couldn't believe it. And apparently like a lot of those old stages were like that. Like,
the haunted stage at Universal is like that, where
really
there's the ground level. And I was doing a commercial, and I knew about that place already because I was big into, like, the Universal Monsters when I was a kid, and the Phantom of the Opera is one of the oldest and most iconic silent horror films, you know, and it starred Lon Chaney, the Man of a Thousand Faces, who did his own makeup. And not only did he do his own makeup, but there are points where the Phantom has to swim through the catacombs and stuff. And so his makeup was fucking waterproof.
Yeah.
And yeah, the guy was just amazing. But they had us do our makeup on the haunted stage, but I didn't know it. But I look around and I see over to the side all these opera house boxes, like up against the wall. And I was like, the makeup crew will know because Lon Chaney is a legend of makeup people. I was like, are those what I think they are? And are we where I think I am? Yeah. And the guy goes, yeah. And if you want, we're going to stick around afterwards and take some pictures of that stuff. You know, and I was like, hell yeah, I do. But he was like, you know what's cool? I was like, is this only the Opera House set? Is that all that's left? And he goes, oh no, the Phantom's Lair is below this. He goes, it goes down. There's like the whole Opera House. And then below that was the Phantom Lair, which was like his underground the Paris Opera House stuff. And it all had like, they filled it with water and shot like him on a boat. Kind of like, did you ever see the Broadway show Phantom of the Opera?
I've seen pieces of it.
Where he's like on the boat with the girl and like taking her to his lair. They actually built all that shit for the silent movie. And it's all like down below the ground level. It's crazy. You know, there's and what's even crazier is it like supposed to be haunted by Lon Chaney, and they had a massive fire at Universal a few years back.
I remember,
and everything burned. The Psycho House, the King Kong attraction, all this historic landmark sort of stuff burned.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But the haunted stage wasn't touched.
Wow.
So I thought that was kind of cool, you know?
Wow. But with It's a Wonderful Life, you know, back to that, like just that dance floor and just the idea that, okay, I'm 18 and just wanting to follow his dreams. And I may not have the quote right, but it was something like, he's like, I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. He was like, I love the best sounds in the world. It's something like an anchor dropping, a whistle of a train, a jet taking off.
Yeah.
And then it, you know, turns out that he doesn't get to do that. And it's like, man, you know, like, you know, he's like, okay, I'll hang on for 4 more years while my younger brother goes to college, and then I'll travel. And next thing you know, he's getting married and the kids and the, you know.
Yeah, stuff happens in life. And if you don't really get a chokehold on the things that you want to do, you may never do them. And that's why people are always saying, like, You know, there is no tomorrow. Do it today. If you have the time and the means to do a thing that you want to do, this is the time to do it. It doesn't get better. You know, if you want to go to Paris while you're young. It's not going to be better when you're 60. You know, it's like, do that stuff now. Whatever you're thinking of doing, make it the goal, because the truth is, work is always going to be there.
Yeah.
All the other stuff in life that you have to do, there's always going to be stuff that you have to do. So you better do the stuff that you want to do now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we're really lucky that there's even an occupation of comedy. You know what I mean? Like in
right.
And yeah. I'm glad there is. It's like it's one of those things where I remember at career day when I was 13, 14 years old, and I remember they had like these booths, and you go from booth to booth, like, what do I want to do for career? And you have to fill out these questionnaires, like, are you the type of person who likes indoors? Do you like outdoors? Do you like working with people? Do you like working alone? Do you like drawing? And I remember thinking, like, wow, the closest thing that I can see that's what I want to do was being a morning radio DJ. That was the closest thing I could see to stand-up comedy. Like, I didn't even know. And then by the time, you know, I graduated high school, then I realized, oh, you can do comedy. And then that kind of turned into, like, oh, I can get paid for this. And then, of course, then you start seeing, like, oh, other opportunities. And then next thing you know, you're doing it, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, I still, even within that job, I have a lot of goals that I haven't met that I want to try and do, you know? Like, I figured out that I had played 49 of the 50 states.
Oh, cool. I believe I have too.
Yeah, like, I bet if you check, you probably have. And so the one I have left is Hawaii.
Dude, me too. I swear to you, that's the last one.
That's funny, because that's, like, one of my goals is, like, I want to do some... I don't give a crap what island it is. If it's in Hawaii, it counts, you know?
Yeah.
And I just... if I do 5 minutes in Hawaii, I accomplished my goal, you know?
That's funny. What took a lot of those off the list for me was... during a college tour that I did, I used to do this tour called Make Me Laugh. The first hour stand up, the second hour is the game show Make Me Laugh with two other comics. And we used to get in a van, literally, this is the young man's thing. I mean, it's like being a rock band, you know, like an up and coming rock band, because you're in a Ford Econoline 350, I think it was. Uh-huh. And we'd meet in Michigan, travel, and then the agent would have all these dates for us. So we'd start out the tour in York, Pennsylvania. Then you're going to go to, you know, whatever, Potsdam, New York, and then Plattsburgh, New York. And then you're going to, you know, go to Colby, Maine, and just parts of the country I'd never been to in my life. Like, I, you know, as a young man, I'd been as far as like Kansas City and back, like from like, you know, Arizona, New Mexico, like that. But I'd never been to those little states in the New England. So that was crazy. So you also have performed in all the states except for Hawaii.
Right, yeah. And that it was just one of those things that I was like, oh, this is cool. I definitely want to try and accomplish this, you know.
That's great, man.
Of course, I would love to play overseas more. Like, I haven't really... I went to Italy, but I didn't really perform. I was just helping out Panette with writing and stuff. But I would love to perform in other countries and
did you have see what else did you eat there, like you spaghetti know? And stuff when you were over there? I know you told me about the...
I ate pizza.
Yeah. Oh, now what was the pizza like?
Not particularly good.
Yeah, because we're used to
Naples. And it was kind of like, I think the vibe there was like, just feed the tourists like some microwave pizza and they'll be fine. Because it was not great. But they had not spumoni, gelato.
Gelato, yeah.
And there they take that real seriously, and it's like a source of pride. And so it's one of those, like, if you're like, I want to be a gelato chef when I grow up, it's like, well, you're already five, so you're too late. You should have been training at age three to be, you know, they're serious over there. And so we got gelato, and they had like 500 flavors at the place we went, you know. And so we're eating it, and I'm thinking this is the best ice cream type thing I've ever had. And I go, John, what do you think of this? And he goes, it's good. Not in that, oh, I'm going to get another scoop way.
Yeah.
It's good in that, oh, now I got to sell all my shit and move to Italy sort of way.
That's awesome. That's great. With the back to the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. There's this,
yeah,
this scene when the uncle, you know, gosh, that guy played was so evil, Mr. Potter. I think it was,
yeah,
Mr. Lionel Barrymore, I believe, played him. And he, yeah, did such a good
tremendous
job.
Tremendous actor, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he was great, right? Such a great villain. And
yeah, part of a long chain of amazing actors. John Barrymore, and Drew Barrymore is their, I believe, granddaughter.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. And what's Drew Barrymore's mom's name? She's famous too, huh, I think? If you said it.
I don't know if it's her mom, but I know Ethel Barrymore.
Hmm.
Is another one, but they're like a huge, huge acting family.
I mean, that
and yeah, they go back to the silent film era.
Lionel Barrymore, he played such a great villain, like so evil, like so, like, you know, like, eh, like when he's begging for some money and he's and then they go to shake hands and he then Jimmy Stewart's character realizes, like, I don't want to be in business with this slime ball, what have I done? I'm, you know, it was just,
yeah,
so good, man, such versatility in that role. But I remember in particular with the when his uncle misplaces the $8,000, and of course the evil Mr. Potter,
right,
he finds it because he rolls it up in a newspaper. Like basically they get sidetracked and boom, he loses the money and he's pulling his hair out. He can't find it. And when the town come together and they donate the money and they, here's $5, here's $200. Here's, we were like, wow, this is like a modern day, like GoFundMe. Now they, now the community would do a GoFundMe to help somebody, but it's like,
right,
it just kind of showed like the community of people that we do need each other, and if one person's gone, like where, how the lives would change. Like it was really sad when like the angel when Clarence took him to the cemetery and he sees that his young brother would have died at 8 years old, and he's like, yeah, you weren't there to save his life. And it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, like, you know,
they, yeah, did, when whenever you get like down, it's good to think about stuff like that, of like, you know, what kind of vacuum would I leave if I wasn't here? You know, and like who, mm-hmm, counts on me for stuff or who depends on me for stuff. And that's just a good way of realizing what, oh, one of the most important things to realize, that it's not all about you.
Right. Right.
You know, which is funny that that's the center of the movie, that it's, it is kind of all about him, but it's not all about him, you know?
Yeah. George Bailey. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because I remember,
I
like,
remember, oh, can I tell you real quick? Do you remember the Gary Shandling show?
Yes.
Gary Shandling did like a Christmas episode that was a spoof of A Wonderful, It's a Wonderful
Really?
Life. And he had like, I forget who it was, but one of his writers was like his angel.
Hmm.
And he goes, you know, you can't die. If you die, everything changes. And he goes, well, what changed? And he goes, look at this TV guide. And he goes, oh, it looks like Alice is canceled. It's not in here. And he goes, yeah, if you had died, you know, Alice would have gotten canceled a lot sooner. He goes, well, what else? He goes, well, that's pretty much it. What do you mean? If I died, that's the only thing that would change, is Alice would have stayed on a little bit longer. Yeah. Yeah, that's all. Like, that was the only effect he had on the world.
That's hilarious. I was trying to think, do you remember that there was a final inscription that Clarence the Angel left? It was something like, a man is truly rich if he has friends.
Something along those lines, yeah.
Man, that's a, when I read that, I was like, that's a great quote. I go, hit rewind. I want to see that one more time, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that last shot of him kind of winking at him, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like surrounded by his family and everything. It's one of the best closing shots of a movie, you know?
Damn, you make me want to watch it again. It's like, I gotta watch. Yeah. It's so good, man. It's so good.
Yeah. It was, you know, another spoof thing on it that was really, really good was on Married with Children, where they did an episode called It's a Bundyful Life.
I'll have to see if I can find that.
His guardian angel was Sam Kinison.
Oh, man.
And it's tremendous. It'd be a good, like, dessert for that movie to watch, you know?
Oh, yeah, I got to watch that. You're right, because I may have seen Sam Kinison doing that, but I may have seen that without watching It's a Wonderful Life, so I only saw the parody of it or whatever, the spoof of it.
Right. It'd be good now that you've actually seen it to watch it, you know?
It's cool. I love it when I can watch a good movie, especially with my son, you know, like show him like, look, son, this is a great, you know, he gave it a standing ovation at the end. He's like, this was epic. And I don't even think, you know, and at 15, it's epic. But imagine as you get older, it really hits home, you know.
That's what's really great about it is it. I think that maybe the secret to that movie is every time you watch it, you experience so much more that parallels the character in it, you know.
Right.
Just resonates even more as you get older.
You're right. It's so funny how life works that way, right? Like, you know, when I was younger and things were happening pretty quick, you know, paid regular at the Comedy Store, paid regular Laugh Factory, then booked an independent movie, booked a national commercial, boom, 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 boom. And then just, you know, and then there would be a little bit of downtime, but not really, like 10 months.
Yeah.
And then boom, a national college convention, NACA. And then I got booked colleges and then, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then when it kind of slows down, boom.
Yeah, you were still in that phase where people were giving you the inflatable dinosaur.
Exactly, yeah. Right? You're young, you're in 20s, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you've got energy.
We want to help this young guy.
Yeah, and then you
now you're an old guy, and they're like, shut up, old guy. Get
exactly.
Out of the way.
There's another bus of young guys coming in.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know. Yeah, and then what came along was you know, social media. This guy has so and so Twitter followers, which I'm thank God you don't really hear that anymore. How many Twitter followers do you have? You know, that's but it's right. It has migrated to other forms, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But it's hilarious.
It's like so much other than being funny that matters now that shouldn't matter really.
Yeah, it's like. I wonder if that'd be hilarious, like if a guy only had like one like let's say 20 followers on every platform, but on Twitter they have like, you know, 100,000 followers.
Right.
Please book me. I have 100,000 followers on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, what are your TikTok numbers like?
Pretty much done now. Yeah.
Dude, you want to know something crazy? Wait, I don't want to tell stories out of school. Hold on, let me make sure I'm telling the truth. Because I was tripping out on this the other day. This is what I'm talking about. Not that it matters. Wait, hold on. I'm going to tell you something that I thought was pretty. This is so petty of me. But I need a little victory. I needed a little victory. Okay. I have. Okay, my best platform is TikTok.
Okay.
All right. All right, guys, this is me being petty and immature and insecure. So if you go to TikTok, which, listen, the government may take it down. Like, everybody wants to take it. I know, but I'm saying no because I'm actually, it's the one thing I'm doing good on.
Why would they take it down?
Because I'm doing good on there.
Oh.
No, they, I don't know, because it's like the owners are in China and they, I don't know, spyware. I don't know, man, like. It was one of those things when I wasn't on it, I was like, yeah, take it down. But then once I started taking off, I'm like, no, you know, but in both sides, Democrats, Republicans, like they're both like kind of leery of it, you know, but here's my point. If you go on TikTok, at the very top, it says how many followers you have and it shows how many likes you have.
Right.
And then you can pin your top three videos. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to give you my stats just real quick. Guys, go follow me on TikTok if you want. You don't have to. I'm doing fine on there.
But you have to.
Yeah, because I'm pretty much stagnant on Instagram. I'm like the same numbers year in, year out, barely growing, whatever. But TikTok, for whatever reason, you can actually grow on there. Like, it gets you out there, and you don't have to pay to get yourself out there. It actually works. Okay, so let me cut to the chase. So my top video has 2.1 million views. 2.1 million views.
A lot.
It's a lot. My second most watched has over a million views. And then my third one has 922,000 views. So that's my videos. My likes is 1.7 million. So 1.7 million times people have hit like on my videos.
That's all a right? lot of people.
So here's what I'm getting at. The other day I was like, I wonder how I do compared to this person and that person. And dude, you know,
that's a dangerous game.
It's playing. A dangerous game because most of them I'm not doing better than. But however, I'm going to drop a name, Mark Maron.
Oh,
is right.
Shots fired at Mark Maron.
He may be killing it in every other thing, selling out shows, TV shows, podcasting, comedy store spot, everything he's killing it in. However, when it comes to TikTok, remember I told you about that likes at the top? I have 1.7 million. He's got 756,000. Aww. My most viewed video is like 2.1 million. His was like 350,000. You know, it's now listen, he does have more followers than me. I'm at 30,000. He's doubled mine. He's at 64,000.
Yeah.
But I'm beating him in every other thing. And I told my friend that, I go, just as a goof, I go, man, I can't believe it. And this means nothing, but it made me happy that day. And my friend goes, you should tell him the next time you see him. I'm like, no, I'm not telling him. It's so stupid.
No, you
it's
don't like, tell him. What you do is you put your arm on his shoulder and go, I'm sorry about your TikTok, buddy.
I know. He's like, what? He probably doesn't even care about it. He's like, I have people do it for me. What's going on
he
over
there?
He
might not even know he has a TikTok.
Exactly. I know.
And then after you do that, his armed security force escorts you away from him.
And then he starts putting effort into it for like one day and just like blows me away. Like,
right, yeah.
Oh, I was just letting that thing sit there. I was letting the fans run it. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
And it made me laugh. I was like, oh, it's kind of funny. Like I'm, you know, I don't know why I don't have more followers, but they tend to watch my videos and like them. But I'm like,
that's whatever. Great.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we always want more. Like, why am I only, you know? Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah. Take it as a win.
I do. I'm 100% a win. I'm like, anybody that gives anything, any attention to anything we do is a win.
Yeah.
I'm one of those guys, I get really into Christmas, like really into it. Like, first of all, when I say really into it, the music, I love the music. The November.
Which do you like more, Christmas or ketchup?
They're both red.
The fact that you had to think about
it. It's funny because I didn't even know I liked ketchup that much.
Probably ketchup.
I didn't know I liked ketchup that much. And then you pointed it out and I'm like, you know what? I think I eat it more at the restaurants that we go to. Because at home, I hardly ever touch it, you know?
Wait, what about this?
I hate ketchup packets. I will not even open up a ketchup packet. Though? It's a waste of time.
Christmas ketchup.
Ooh.
Now we're talking.
I can picture that. A red bottle with like some green trim.
Yeah.
Every time the ketchup bottle makes that noise, like an angel gets its wings.
Yes, that's exactly what happens.
I like my women like I like my ketchup bottles. They come when I turn them upside down and tap that bottom. Dude, I got to post that. It's going to get even more
likes.
Sometimes
they make that fart noise.
Yeah. Sometimes they make that noise. No, I like Christmas. I like the music. I love here's what I like. I'm gonna name three things. Let's name three things we love about Christmas, though it's over with. But I'm gonna go. I love the music of Christmas. Yeah. Like, you know, I personally like a little bit more of the old school Christmas music.
Yeah.
You know, although there are some, you know, I like the Paul McCartney. I do like the, you know, I do like some of the more modern songs. I love the Christmas music. I like the even if it is an illusion or whatever, but maybe I think it does turn real, the happiness and joy that it does kind of bring around people, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like it can. And I like the decorations. I like walking around the neighborhoods. I like seeing these lights lit up. I just think it makes things look better when it's like, you know, the pretty red and, you know, white candy canes and the, I just like that. I like the positive messages of Christmas. Those are the three things I like.
Yeah.
And what would you say?
For me, I like the movies.
Ooh.
And a lot of the like non-traditional Christmas movies like Die Hard or Lethal Weapon or Iron Man 3, you know, movies that are kind of like Christmas is the background to the story, but it still ends up kind of being a very Christmassy sort of movie, you know?
Yeah.
I like those, but I like the legitimate ones too, like, you know, A Muppet Christmas Carol, Scrooge, or, you know, Christmas Vacation is a great
movie. I love that movie.
You know,
Cousin Eddie.
Mm. Yeah. You know, so movies would be my number one thing that I like the most. I like the general attitude that people have around this time of year is just a little bit nicer, especially in a big city. I think you notice it more, but everyone's just a little bit nicer, especially right around those days of like Hanukkah and Christmas, where everyone's just kind of doing stuff for each other and for their families and stuff and having a little bit of extra time to do it. I love that. And I guess the last thing would be,
with the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You know, I like the music a lot too, but I guess the when I'm lucky enough to be in a place where there's snow, that's really nice, you know, around Christmas time.
Oh, it's so nice. I remember I would do some of those casinos at Lake Tahoe. I'd go there a couple Decembers in a row and it was like, it felt like Christmas up there. Now, here's what's weird. When you, especially living in California for, you know, my
You should do next year, Tahoe Joe's Christmas special in Lake Tahoe.
Tahoe Joe's Christmas special. I like that. God, you're overthinking.
I'm only half kidding. I know. Really, that would be a lot of fun to do.
I know. I remember, you know, living in California my whole life, that's one thing that's cool too, is like I'd go to Milwaukee or, you know, just some place other than California, you know, for a gig. And it was so cool to be there in December. But then I realized like sometimes there's still snow on the ground in like March and April. And
yeah, then it gets rough.
Yeah. Like, and I remember
talking. Another thing I will say that kind of the flip side of that is when I'm not in a place. Like, usually I'm in Colorado if it's snowing or something like that. Yeah. But if I'm here, I love that it kind of becomes a ghost town between, like, December 18th through New Year's, where, like, the business side of business shuts down and everything else is, like, people are going to visit their families and stuff like that. So if you're here, you kind of have your run of the city for that whole period.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Very little traffic. It's starting to get that way again, you know, like people are actually traveling and everything. And so, like, for the next few days, it's kind of nice to, like, there's half the traffic there was, you know.
You know, and one more thing I was going to say that I do like up is I get to spend more time with my son because now that he's in school. You know, like you're always on that school schedule and then, you know, you have the weekend, but sometimes I'm on the road or sometimes he has stuff to do. So having that full like 2 week Christmas vacation is great. Like every day, you know, we were up at the farm. So we'd, you know, I still wanted to work on my, you know, career and craft. So I'd go to like, let's go to Starbucks and I could upload using the high speed Wi-Fi there. And then he would be studying his, you know, stuff that he had to study for. And so we'd have like that father-son bonding. And that was, that's always yeah. fun. And I love that part of it. You know, in fact, we have a few more days left. I want to make sure we play more board games. Cause I played a little bit of board games like in the middle of the month, but I'm like, let's get back to that. Because once you start going again, it's hard to, hey everyone, stop what you're doing. Let's slow down and play a board game. It just seems like,
right.
You know, like a,
we're like, wasting time.
Dude, I've got homework and I'm like, and I've got to upload videos and I've got to, you know, yeah. I got to get down to the Comedy Store at 7:30 and I'm going to hit track. You know, you're not,
yeah.
It's like, dude, are you, you know, it's like, what are you doing playing board games all day, but, or whatever, you know, but
you know, it's funny stuff like that. You think about it and it's like, as life moves super fast, when you think later, you're like, God, I should have played a few more board games with my family.
100%. I mean, who cares, you know? About it? Like, I know, that's why,
not,
dude, I didn't even,
always,
right.
But like, it's good to remember that every now and again, go, hey, I'm going to really miss opportunities to do this later on, you know?
Right. Like there was a couple places I was like, I know, I called in for my avails at the Comedy Store and at the Comedy Magic Club, or I put my avails in. But the other clubs, I was like, it's not worth it for me to, like, you know, I just want to spend as much Christmas time and family time as I can. But I, you know, because I knew I was going to, basically what I'm getting at is I knew I was going to, I had to come back to LA and for a thing, but I didn't want to, like, you know, cut my vacation, Christmas vacation, too short, just to go running around being selfish, doing like 15-minute spots, you know.
Right.
Unless it was at the Comedy Store or the Comedy Magic Club, then I'm like, well, those places are good. So, I mean, they're great.
Those, and you have to look at, too, that, like, those are very high profile and they're very, like, things that make playing board games with your family possible.
Exactly. You know? Yes.
So it's like, it's finding that balance, you know.
It's funny. I talked about the things I love about Christmas, but here's what's funny. I think I want to do this next year. Do a podcast with people, like just do like almost like man on the street interviews, but with comedians that I know. People who love Christmas and people who can't stand it, because you know there's two different camps. And we did a fundraiser, and I got to do a fundraiser earlier before Christmas, and Craig Robinson was the headliner. And it was in Toluca Lake, and I talked to one of the comedians. He was hilarious, Alan Cunningham. And I go, man, I was wearing my Christmas sweater. It lights up and the whole thing. And he goes, man, I can't stand Christmas, man. I hate this. And I go, really? And he goes, man, I go, what about the Christmas music? And he goes, man, I can't stand that old jolly shit. And the way he said it, it made me laugh. I go, dude, you got to do my podcast. We got to do that. And he goes, I like some of it, I guess. Like I told him how this year I had discovered the Temptations did a version of Silent Night. And it's so good. Like, I don't know if you've heard it, but I mean, the way that, I don't even know I don't know the names of the members, but like the one guy was like, his deep voice is like, Silent Night. I mean, it's so good. And then this other guy comes in with a falsetto. Holy night. And then there's a part of the song where they go, it sounds like a religious song where the guy's like really gospel. Like he's like, Christ, the Savior is born. I mean, it's so.
Well, I'll tell you something right now. Mark my words.
Yeah.
If Craig Robinson did a Christmas album, it would be a license to print money.
Oh, my gosh.
He is sitting on a gold mine. It's like, if he hates Christmas music, then make better Christmas music.
Yeah.
And that guy can do it. He can totally do a funny, fun Christmas album. Tell him I said so.
I will.
Like, if you talk to him again, just tell him, hey, a buddy of mine had a great idea. Do a Christmas album that's better than all the stuff that
you hear at Christmas. I should tell him that. By the way, he wasn't the guy that said that he doesn't like. It was another comedian.
Oh, it was someone else.
It was Alan Cunningham. Also known as AC. He was hilarious. He is hilarious, but he was hilarious when he told me that. But yeah, Craig was the headliner. But you're right, I should tell Craig.
Oh,
that.
Okay. AC, I'm sure, could do a fine Christmas album.
But I was
thinking Craig Robinson should do a Christmas album.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I tell Alan and it sells like two copies. He's like, man, that's another reason I hate Christmas. I hate Christmas, man.
Like, I invested all my money in this
old jolly shit, man. This is bullshit.
If it's called jolly shit,
because I hate that old jolly shit, and it made me laugh because it was so funny. I can just picture what
if
he meant.
If you called a Christmas album that old jolly shit, it might do really good.
I know. And then another buddy of mine,
that old jolly shit.
Another buddy of mine doesn't—he doesn't really care for Christmas, and you know him too. It's John DiResta, you know.
Former great John DiResta.
The great John. I go, what do you? He's a New Yorker, former NYPD cop.
Yeah.
I go, what don't you like about Christmas? And he goes, He doesn't like the presents part of it. He goes, anything I want, I can just get myself nowadays. And he goes, he's like, usually it's just stuff people grab on the door on the way out of a store, some cheap shit, it's save your money. That was his attitude towards it, which makes sense. I guess when you're a child and you can't buy stuff and you have a Christmas list, it's but when you're
handing you inflatable dinosaurs and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, I love Christmas. I go to the Sears wish book and but
yeah, when you're a kid, I remember Buckingham Mall in Aurora, Colorado. Had they would lay out this humongous Christmas village in the middle of the mall with like Disney type like animated characters, like animatronic reindeer and stuff like that, and it all led up to meeting Santa Claus, and he would look at your list and then you would get the stuff on your list, it was a big deal. Now it's like, oh, there's going to be traffic at the mall, and yes. I don't want to deal with all the people and everything.
Yeah, totally. And then sometimes there's that, required, like visiting, I got to go visit this, place. And I gotta visit the
relatives you're not wild about, or they're married to people you're not wild
about.
Right,
like there's all that downside of it, which is, there's all that, or there's the required.
Why don't you do your act after dinner? I'd rather not.
Yeah, exactly. There's the forced. Yeah. So, how's everything going for you guys? How is your comedy? Haven't seen you on the tube lately, or whatever.
Yeah,
that hasn't happened lately. But I remember when I was in my 20s, that would be. It was almost like I was. There were certain relatives that I had to go visit, and I had to.
Yeah.
Give the update. Which I know they were just making small talk, but it's like still,
Yeah.
What helped for me was getting married, because then that's, I got to a whole new family, which is awesome, because, when I had to go back and visit some of the foster family back in the day, by the way, if they're listening, that means we're still getting along, but the ones that I didn't get along with, they're probably not even listening, so whatever. But yeah, there's, there was all that awkward stuff where you're like, I guess I got to go visit, that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real pain.
But I was going to say, I do, as much as I like Christmas, I still love, today I was walking around here in LA and I got to see the decorations up after Christmas, which is hilarious. And because I love doing these videos, and we still celebrated Christmas. We ain't letting it go. Which the longer, if it's January, it's hilarious, even funnier in February. but I'm kind of done. That's the thing. I wanted to almost drown in Christmas music. So now because I told myself I'm not going to listen to anything but Christmas music. And it's kind of cool that now that Christmas is over, I was listening to like other types of music today, and it made my trip a lot quicker.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, I haven't heard this song in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that helps a bunch.
Yeah, I guess I just really wanted to get into Christmas because of after the pandemic and being away from everyone. It's like, man.
I think that was kind of the vibe in general, because I was like, I noticed myself being a lot more, doing a lot more Christmas type stuff this year than I had last year or the year before, for sure. I was much more excited about putting my tree up and about decorating.
Dude, that's so cool. I saw your tree, man. That's And that's funny. You live alone. Or I think you live alone, but
yeah,
as a bachelor, you're like, dude, I got a wife and kids. You never asked me about it. But anyways, no.
But, they're right here. Listen.
You asshole. Bleep this out. No, but I think I saw that. No, I know I saw that. You showed your tree. It looked amazing. And I thought, man, that's, I'm sitting here going, I love Christmas, but I didn't put up one decoration. My wife does everything, you know, like, no wonder right, I love it. Your wife does everything. You know? I love my wife if she's listening, but. Love
you, honey. I got like a little mini tree at Walgreens and like, God, 10 years ago, probably. And I've just been adding, like, I did a few decorations the first year to round it all out.
Yeah.
But every year I've just added a new like Hallmark decoration to it.
It looks great.
It's really full of stuff. Like there's hardly any room to put anything new now. That like I may have to legitimately get a real tree next year or something.
Real quick before we wrap up, I have to I got to ask you. So one time I was up at the farm up near Fresno doing those bumpkin activities, and one of them was we did a run to town and we went to Walmart and got some stuff at Walmart, which I love their prices. I got a basketball for $4 and some change. I mean, it was like, it actually was blown up. You didn't, you know, I mean, like you could bounce it. It bounced super high and everything. Like,
wait,
like,
you got a pre-blown up basketball for $4.99?
Oh yeah. Like plus tax. It was probably in the fives, but it was like $4.87 and change, whatever. And
steal.
Yeah, exactly. I started bouncing in the store going, this thing bounces. This is had great grip, you know, all the little beads.
Sir, can you please not dribble in this store?
I was excited. I was like, this is a great ball. So I got it. Yeah, I mean, they have great prices. But I remember I was there maybe over the summer, and I took a couple of photos. And I go, hey, you want me to get this? And you're like, oh, I need that for my collection. And this right? And this year I found a couple things, and you were like, actually, the only thing I need is, if you see it, is that really cool Spider-Man thing. Now, is that a little harder to find, that Spider-Man?
Well, it's just that they only sell it at Walmart. Mm-hmm. So I managed to get one, but Spider-Man stuff sells pretty quick, as I'm sure you can imagine. But Walmart does things. A lot of different stores do exclusive figures, so you can only get them at that store. So that makes them a little bit more of a hassle to find.
So what I'll do is, because I'm going to go back up to the farm, and when I'm up there, I'll go look for it. Unless you already have one, or unless you want another one.
If you see one, grab it.
Oh, cool. Sure. I mean, that's cool. I like a mission. I like when I know someone like. It's hard when I'm like, I have no idea what the, you know, but.
Yeah, Walmart has two things. It has that, and it has Shredder from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But he's black and white, like they did them all black and white style. So if you see either of those things,
that's what cool. I will. I'll probably have to ask you this again, like, or you know, I'll just when I'm at Walmart and I'll be like, "What was that thing?" And then you'll tell me.
I'll send you pictures so you can see exactly what they look like.
So we were getting, you know, my son and I went there and because it was raining like 24 hours in a row, and it was raining off and on for a lot of the Christmas vacation. And so I was like, man, I want to, you know, I'm getting, you know, cabin fever. So we went and got some rain boots, like these rubber rain boots. And you can get really good rubber rain boots at Walmart.
And, yeah, you know what they called them in Colorado?
No.
Galoshes.
Oh.
I don't know why they called them that. I don't know where the name stems from, but that's everybody called them galoshes. They're like, put on your galoshes because it's... There's a lot of snow on the ground.
I always wonder what the difference between, but you know what's funny, dude, is it was right in that section, there was my son, he looked up and right above the boots, there was a guitar and apparently they sell guitars for $249 at Walmart. It's a guitar by Yamaha and they've partnered with a celebrity. You may or may not even know this celebrity, but I was going to ask you, see, when we were kids, I would imagine I'm a little older than you, but when we were kids, you know, when someone said like, there's a guitar, I would picture like Jimi Hendrix, Eddie Van Halen. Like I would picture
these guitarists. Like real guitarists.
Can you picture like, would you also come up with those two names?
Yeah, those would definitely be high in the list. Yeah,
right.
Or I don't really know guitarists that much, but yeah,
I don't either. And for a guy not knowing guitarists that much, I would say like those are names that came to me pretty easy. Or I think there was a guy, Stevie Ray Vaughan. I think he's another famous guitarist.
Yeah.
Those are names you kind of hear, just kind of see, even just
Eric
being
Clapton.
Eric Clapton. Exactly. Eric Clapton, you know, yeah. I mean, there are, you know, I don't want to leave anybody out, but you know, there's these names. but yeah. So anyways, what made me kind of giggle was, even in the country world, there's guitarists that I would, anyways, my point is this guitar, he partnered with Walmart is, Keith Urban, and it's called the Urban Guitar. Do you know, are you familiar with Keith Urban?
I'm aware of him. I couldn't name a single song of his, but
yeah, he's married to Nicole Kidman, but it's that's kind of another famous thing about him. But I was just kind of laughing to myself thinking, I bet you there's not one person in this Walmart that's like, mommy, please get me a Keith Urban guitar. I want to play like right. Keith Urban, you know,
because yeah.
On the overhead speaker, they're like, attention Walmart shoppers, get the Keith Urban guitar and get 1 hour virtual guitar lessons from Keith Urban. I just don't picture.
Is that true?
That's 100% true. Like, I don't know if it's virtual. I think they give you like a CD-ROM or something of Keith Urban teaching you guitar, but nothing against Keith Urban in case he's listening, but
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's just not, I don't know.
If Keith Urban's your number one fan and you just ruined it.
I'm like, damn, I knew I got that one download from Nashville. I didn't know it was from Keith. But
you're like, I was going to have Nicole Kidman come on your show.
You son of a bitch.
Because you're both redheads.
Exactly. I thought that was kind of funny, but I want to thank you for coming on the podcast, of course. And
always fun to be on.
And we shall do it again soon. And if we talked about not saying our goals or our resolutions or whatever, but have you do you have any New Year's resolutions you wish to share, or have you not even thought of that yet, or
what's really the only big one I have is I want to try and get out more. Like try and do more stand up in more places. That's my big
goal. Oh, I see. Yeah.
Goal. You know, like right now I've been kind of partially because of the pandemic, but also partially to be honest, laziness. but I've stayed pretty local to LA. I'd like to get out and start really hitting the bricks, you know.
And what made you do that? You were watching the news and you saw all the Southwest Airlines getting canceled. You're like, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah, that was exactly it.
You're like, flights canceled
if
Tuesday.
If everyone else can do it, so can I.
Exactly. Yeah. Dude, my wife and I were just like, I am so glad I'm not traveling this holiday because it would be like, man. Flight canceled on Tuesday. It won't go up until Saturday. You're like, oh my gosh. Or some comedian friends of mine, I saw like, you know, their flight got canceled and then it kept getting canceled. Then they're like, screw it. We're driving from Omaha to LA. And it's like, so that made me not, but you're right. By the time, you know,
yeah, by like mid-January, I think it should kind of ease up.
I think so. I believe so. And on a bright note, Ice House should be opening up, the Ice House Comedy Club.
Oh, great.
February 9th. That's the big grand opening weekend, they say. So, you know.
Oh, that's nice.
In closing, you guys, once again, I must reiterate, please share this link, share the podcast. And if you haven't reviewed it yet on iTunes, give it a 5 stars and a little review. It does help. And thank you for listening. And Mike Black is back. And dude, thank you so much for joining me today. And have a great night, buddy.
You too. Thanks for having me. Happy holidays.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye. Well, look at you. You made it all the way through. Yay. How cool was that? And how cool was it to have my son Austin, a.k.a. Austin, the Bass Boss, on the previous episode? Man, that was really sweet to have him on. And you guys are awesome. If you want to do a little financial donation, I won't fight you on it. I'll say thank you. It does keep the show up and running. And the links are below in the description. Or if you want to hit me up on Venmo, it's at Darren Carter Comic on Venmo. Also, Cash App, it's $ Darren Carter Comic. If you like to do PayPal, go to DarrenCarter.com, hit that donate button. And other than that, I'm available on Cameo. I do personal shout-outs. And if you're a baller and you got some money, or if your friends got some money and you want us to come out and do a live show, email me on that, and we can arrange something, and we'll do a live show for you guys at your buddy's restaurant, or you know, whatever you have in mind. All right, man, take it easy, guys. Darren Carter, Party Starter. I am out, and Happy New Year. Don't hurt nobody. Don't hurt nobody. Be careful.
He's a crazy chicken plucker named Darren, with no tattoos, freckles, only barren staring down a microphone. Darren Carter will tickle your funny bone with a ho 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 and a ha ha laugh. Tune in and listen on the Bucket Party Podcast.